Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Job, the 14th chapter. Job, chapter 14, in your Scofield Reference Bible, page 578. We'll be reading verses 10 through 15. Job, the book just before the book of Psalms, the 14th chapter, verses 10 through 15, and page 578. And we'll read the verses, as we most usually do, responsively. Let's all stand, everyone standing, for the reading of this portion of Scripture, please. The text verse is that 15th verse, the last verse that we'll read together. But man dieth and wasteth away, yea, man giveth up the ghost. And where is he? As the waters fail from the sea, and the flood decayeth and drieth up, so man lieth down and riseth not. Till the heavens be no more, they shall not awake, nor be raised out of their sleep. Oh, that thou wouldst hide me in the grave, that thou wouldst keep me secret until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldst appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have a desire to the work of thine hands. And let's pray. Father, thou art so good to us. Thank you for the freedom that is ours because we live in America. Thank you for the freedom to gather here Sunday by Sunday. Now thank you for this good day. Many a joy, many a blessing has been ours because of past meetings in this place. But we need thee today. And so we pray for an outpouring of thy Spirit, for thy anointing touch to be upon our preacher and upon the ears of every listener. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now, for the next few minutes, may I have your undivided attention, please? And I promise you that if you will give me your attention, I'll do my best to give my attention to him who is supposed to speak through me today. I want to speak this morning on the subject of disappointed artist. A disappointed artist. The text is this, thou wilt have a desire to the work of thy hands. Thou wilt have a desire to the work of thy hands. I want to speak to you on the subject, a disappointed artist. Heavenly Father, I pray today you would speak to me and through me to the hearts of those who hear. Holy Spirit of God, do a work in our hearts today. And do not ever let it be said that you ever grieve because of us. God, the Holy Spirit, move in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. When I became pastor here in 1959, we had an auditorium, and it was built in 1913. It seated, I guess, 900 to 1,000 people. We needed more space. It's been the story of this church for 23 and a half years. We need more space. Do you know if we had a building this morning the size of Madison Square Garden in New York City, and we brought all of our people into one building this morning, do you know that we'd have to build a new building as soon as possible, take care of our crowd? There's no indoor stadium in America big enough to care for the average attendance of the First Baptist Church of Hammond if all of our people were able to come to the same service. It's been that way now for these years. I need more space. Well, we tried to build and for five years until 1964, we worked to try to build for I don't know how long, months and months and months. Right over here, there's a big hole in the ground. That's all it was, just a big hole in the ground called the Hiles Hole. And we couldn't find money. We had already been clearing out to build, and a hole was in the ground in which to pour the foundation, but we had no money. And so we finally found money. I don't know how many hours and days and weeks and months and years I spent myself and others spent my time trying to build a building. Finally, on April 5th, 1964, we dedicated this half of this auditorium, or this side. The wall was right down here. This side of the auditorium. I could not tell you how proud of it I was. It was the fruit of many, many hours and months of labor. Exactly 3 months to the day from dedication day, I was awakened at 1 o'clock in the morning, and the fire chief said, "Reverend, your buildings are on fire." I rushed to the site, a building right over here called the Baptist Youth Center, connected to this beautiful new auditorium, was going up in flames. And the original building over here, likewise connected to this auditorium, was going up in flames. The deacons had had a meeting just the Saturday night before, at the insistence of the insurance company, to put stronger doors between this building and this one, and that building and this one, because they said that the fire doors weren't strong enough. We couldn't get the insurance. We continue our insurance unless we got it. And here's a building burning down, building right there burning down, both connected to our new auditorium, 3 months old. And I walked in the back door of that building. I could not see my hand in front of my face in some places. I saw the firemen take big axes and chop holes in that new wall, 3 months old. For 5 years, we'd worked to make it a reality. And I saw them chop holes in that wall back there, 6 or 8 holes, so they could get the fire hose and shoot the water, but in the building that was burning over there. I walked down that center aisle on carpet it was exactly 3 months old in this building, and water was that deep all over this building, smoke everywhere. And 5 years of labor had gone down the drain. I thought for sure the building would have been destroyed. Thank God the building was damaged severely, but it was not destroyed, because God put an angel at this door back here, and an angel at that door over there, and God kept this building from being destroyed, though it was damaged by fire. I could not tell you how I felt. I was hurt because the Baptist Youth Center was being destroyed by fire. I was hurt because the auditorium since 1913, the auditorium of this church, was being destroyed by fire. But that was not my big hurt. My big hurt was that a building upon which I had labored so hard was about to go under. That's what the psalmist, what the author is saying in Job, when he said, "Thou wilt have a desire to the work of thy hands." Now, the work of the hands of somebody else was being destroyed, and that hurt me. And the work of the hands of somebody else over here was being destroyed, and that hurt me. But what hurt me the most was that the work of my hands was about to be destroyed. And God said, the thing that hurts me, and I want you to hear me carefully. Everybody now, listen carefully. God said, He said, "I have a desire for the work of my hands." God is mentioned here as an artist. And God is likened to an artist who is doing a painting. And he says, "The great desire I have is the desire to the work of my hands." Now, when an artist begins a work, that artist likewise sees the end. It is the completion that stimulates him to begin. The finished work already lies in his mind, and the artist will not be satisfied until he realizes what is in his mind is taking place in outward shape on the canvas. And as he nears the end, he intensifies his work. It is said that Michelangelo, the great Michelangelo, when he'd get close to the end of a painting or a piece of sculpture, that he wouldn't sleep by day or by night. It is said that he absolutely would just intensify his work and would make the marble fly before his chisel, because if he saw the end of his work approaching, he simply gave everything that he had. They say many poets are like that, and many musicians and authors. They work with undying fury and often even shut themselves off from the world when they come toward the end of a project. I think Mrs. Colston understands that, and Mrs. Bordway. Mrs. Bordway types my books, and Mrs. Colston proofreads my books, and I write them. When I get toward the end of one, I'll tell you, if I'm 4 or 5 chapters finished, I just go like fury. And so do you. I got a note this week, Miss Bordway. She even got religious. She said, "Praise the Lord," on a note. "Hallelujah." She said, I just finished. What she doesn't know, I got 6 more chapters I'm working on right now. She just dropped dead, too. But just finished with your book on prayer, she said. And I'm sure that when she gets down close to the last few chapters, I'm sure the typewriter is a little more swift, and her hands work more, and hours or more. And so that's the way that a poet or musician or an author is. Now here, God is likened to an artist. And God is doing a work, but his work is unfinished. He desires to see it finished. And so God, the Bible said, thou wilt have a desire to the work of thy hands. Now watch me carefully. It's likened here to an artist who paints a painting. And God is that painter. And so God envisions what the heavens will look like in the mind of God. He says, I'd like to see heavens that have a bright round moon, sometimes white, sometimes yellow. I'd like to have a big light in the sky, one great light in the sky to brighten the daytime. And God in his mind said, I'd like to have stars all over that sky for the light at night. I'm going to put a Milky Way here and the North Star here. I'm going to put the Little Dipper over here and the Big Dipper over here. And God pictured that. And God takes his heavenly brush and he speaks and says, let there be light. And there was light, and there was the sun that God made, and there was the moon by night that God made, and there were the stars that God made, and there's the Milky Way, and there's the Big Dipper, and there's the Little Dipper. And God sits back and says, it's finished. And the Bible says, and God saw that it was good. And then God said, I've got another picture in my mind. I've got a picture of the waters of the earth. And God pictured the ocean. And with its vastness, and God pictured the beautiful rivers, and the trickling streams, and the dewdrop-type lakes. And God pictured the waters of the earth. And God, in his mind, he said, I'll paint it. And so God takes out his brush, and God begins to paint beneath his great masterpiece in the sky. God begins to paint on the earth. And God paints an ocean over here, just like he thought it would be. And God makes an ocean over here, just like he thought it would be. And God puts a sea over here, just like he thought it would be. And God winds a river over here, just like he thought it would be. And God dots a lake, and another, and another, and another, and another. And it's just like he thought it would be. And God stepped back and saw the Atlantic, and God saw the Pacific, and God saw the Mediterranean, and God saw the Mississippi, and God saw the Amazon, and God saw the Nile, and God saw the creeks, and God saw the lakes of Minnesota, and God said, it's just like I thought it'd be. I love it. It's beautiful. It's exactly what I thought it'd be. And God said, it was good. And then God said, now I've got the waters, and I've got the heavens. God said, I'd like to let dry land appear, and I'd like to have beauty on that dry land. And so God pictured in his mind, this great divine artist pictured in his mind. He said, I'd like to have some daffodils over here. And God pictured what a daffodil would look like. And God said, I'd like to have some tulips up near Holland, Michigan. And God pictured what those tulips would look like. And God imagined in his mind the roses of East Texas. And God imagined in his mind all the plant life. He pictured what the redwoods of California would look like and what the pines of Carolina would look like. And God pictured what the pansies would look like. And God pictured what the gardenia would look like. And God pictured what the fern would look like. And God pictured what the hedge would look like. And God pictured what the grass would look like. And God pictured what the meadow would look like. And God took his heavenly brush. And God said, I want beneath that beautiful picture that I painted in the sky that I think is so good. And around these waters that I've painted on earth that I think are so good, God said, I want to paint something else. And God, with his heavenly brush, painted the tulip. And God, with his heavenly brush, painted the rose. And God, with his heavenly brush, painted the hedge and the fern and the gardenia and the gladiola. And God looked down and saw all plant life. And God said that it was good. And now we have God's creation. God, the heavenly artist. God, the great masterpiece, is being painted. And God said, I see the sky, and it's good. I see the moon, it's what I had in mind. I see the stars, they're just exactly what I thought they'd be. I see the Big Dipper and Little Dipper and the Milky Way, exactly what I thought they'd be. And God said, I see the lakes. It's exactly what I had in mind. And I see the ocean. That's exactly what I had in mind. And the other ocean. That's exactly what I had in mind. And God said, I see the winding rivers. They're exactly what I thought they'd be like. And God saw that it was good. And God saw plant life. And he said, I am exactly what I thought it'd be. And it's exactly what I planned for it to be. And God saw that it was good. And then God said, I've got to have life running around on that land. And so God pictured a little puppy dog. And God said, I'd like to have a little puppy dog run around wagging his tail somewhere all over the earth. And God made said pictured that in his mind. And God said, I'd like to have fish in the waters. I'd like to have deer, hart dancing around on the mountainside. I'd like to have life on earth. And so God took out his heavenly brush. And God, the great master artist, made animals and beasts in the field and birds to fly in the air. And God painted the wings of the peacock. And God painted the blue of the bluebird and the blue jay. And God painted the red of the redbird. And God painted the beautiful, beautiful, beautiful animal life. God made the horse so graceful. And God said, it's good. The horse is exactly what I thought it'd be. And the fish is exactly what I thought it'd be. And God saw that sailfish jump out of the water, and God said, I'd sure like to catch one of those. And God saw that it was good. And God saw everything was good. Hey, did you hear me? God, the great artist, was so proud. He painted the heavens and said, it was exactly what I had in mind. He painted the ocean and the waters and said, that's exactly what I had in mind. He painted the life on earth, the herbs, and the living plant life on earth. And he said, that's exactly what I had in mind. And then he painted the animal life. And he said, that's exactly what I had in mind. Birds flew at his own command as the great controller of the sky sat in the heavenly tower and watched over everything that would fly through the sky. And God saw the fish following at his command and obeying him. And God charted every course of every fish that swam in the sea. And God put up the flight plan for every fowl that would fly in the air. And God charted the course for every animal or beast of the field. And God said, it's good. And then God said, now my great creation. My great creation. And God stepped back and put that heavenly canvas there. And God said, now then, I'm going to paint my great creation. And God said, I'm going to make him just like me. And God made man in the image of God. Made he man, male and female. And God stepped back and God saw that it was good. But God said, the birds that fly in the air obey me, but they can't love me. And the fish that swim in the sea can obey me, but they can't love me. And the beasts that roam the field obey me, but they can't love me. And the sun that rises at my command obeys me, but it can't love me. And the moon that comes out at my order can obey me, but can't love me. And the stars by night can obey me, but they can't love me. And God said, I want somebody to love me. And God placed in the breast of his greatest and final and most magnificent creation, God placed in his breast the ability to love and to hate. And God said, I want you to love me. And God saw that it was good. And it was so beautiful. So wonderful. God came, and I've heard dear old Dr. Rice say this so many times, I can hardly say it without weeping. He said, God came in the morning and said, Adam, Adam, where art thou? And Adam said to Eve, honey, he's here again. God's here again. Let's go fellowship with him. God's here. And they ran through the garden, and there was God. And they walked and talked together in sweet fellowship. They knew. And every morning God had come. And Dr. Rice said, now, evening time came. God said, Adam, Eve, I've got to go back to heaven now. I've got a lot of work to do. But Adam said, Lord, don't go yet. Don't go yet. Now, Lord, Eve said, Lord, don't go. We're having too much fun.
going. I got to make the sun set and rise in the morning. I got all these animals to feed and the birds there to feed. I'm busy. I'll come back in the morning. Don't forget now. Come back in the morning.
Next morning,
Adam! And Adam would say, "Hey, Eve, he's coming again! Hey, come on, Eve!" And the two would go out and did fellowship with their God. And then one morning, God said, Adam! There was no answer. Adam! Oh, Adam! Adam! There was no answer. God pulled back this brush to see if he could find him. And this one! What happened? I'll tell you what happened. Somebody been messing with God's masterpiece. And God fell! Exactly! Like I fell! 1:15 in the morning on April 5th. I'm sorry. Yes, April 5th. June 5th, 1964. When I saw this beautiful masterpiece marred by the hands of an arsonist. And God Almighty looked and God saw man and the devil, the liar, the thief, the cheat, hell's arsonist. Will burn every one of you in hell if he can get his hands on you. And that devil had messed with God's masterpiece. And God saw his creation, marred. And this picture here likens to an art gallery. And listen carefully. To an art gallery. I come to the artist says, showing a masterpiece. And so, we come to the art gallery. And God shows the lovely design of the painting called Heavens. And I say, God, that's beautiful. Beautiful. And God says, now come to this place. I want to show you the earth and its beauty. Oh, magnificent. What a job you've done. And then God says, now come, let me show you the animal life. Oh, my, what a marvelous masterpiece that is. And God shows the divine artist, looks down and sees his work. The minutest seed with its exquisite patterns. The lovely design on even something like the dust of pollen. The wings of a moth. The pattern of a snowflake. The honey cell of the bee. The eye of the insect, the leaf of the maple, and the beauty of the gladiola. And I say, but God, what's this painting over here? No. He said, don't look over there. He said, look at the gladiola. But God, there's some paintings over here. Never mind. Look at the sky. But God, there's some paintings over here. Never mind now. Look at the earth. Look at the winds and waves. They obey me. Look at the beast of the field. They obey me. Look at the fowl of the air. They obey me. Look at the fish of the sea. They obey me. But God, what's this over here? God takes his sanctified handkerchief and wipes a tear from his precious eye. And he says, here's some paintings over here not finished yet. They're not finished. I have in mind what they want to be like. But they're not finished yet. They won't let me do what I want to do. Oh, let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. There's more to this life than eating and filling your stomach. There's more to this life than playing and laughing and having fun. There's a God in heaven who has in mind what he wants you to be. And you and I are his only creatures on the face of this earth that won't obey him. Biggest sinner in this house this morning. God loves you more than God loves the sun, the moon, the stars, the Milky Way, the Big Dipper and Little Dipper put together. And add to that the Atlantic and Pacific and the Mississippi and the Amazon and the Nile and the Thames and the Missouri. Add to that the lakes of Minnesota and the seas of all the world. God loves you more than loves all these other creatures put together, creation put together. And add to that the magnificent trees of the forest, and add to that the magnificent flowers of the gardens, and add to that the beautiful hedges, and add to that the beautiful rolling plains of the valleys, and add to that the mighty mountains of Colorado, add to that the Great Smokies and the Adirondacks and the Allegheny, and add to that all the goddesses that have created one little snotty-nosed bus kid. is more important to God than all that put together. God, the divine artist, takes his brush out this morning and says, there's a sailor boy that's not what I meant for him to be. I had so many hopes for him. He's not what I meant for him to be. And there's a high school student. Before he was ever born, I had dreams for him. He's not what I meant for him to be. Listen, if you could enter this morning for 5 seconds into the great heart of Almighty God, you'd never purposely go into sin again as long as you live. If you just knew, I think I understand a little bit. You see, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not a builder by trade. I have no jobs, construction jobs, that I can look at and say, these hands laid that brick. I'm not an artist by trade. I have no paintings I can bring into a gallery and say, come and see my paintings. I don't have that. I'm not a musician by trade, though God has given me a lovely voice. I cannot take you and say, come and listen to me as I bless you and thrill you and challenge you with my golden voice. I can't do it. Don't you see what I'm saying? I'm a builder of lives. I think I know a little bit how God feels. Brother John, this afternoon, I stood right here. I could hardly keep from weeping. You're not supposed to break down and cry at a wedding, but I could hardly keep from weeping. Standing over here on this side was one of our boys, pastor of a fine church in Ohio. Used to be a little boy like this in our Sunday school. Now for years, been pastor of a fine church. Here was a bride and groom being married, going to serve God in the pastorate the rest of their lives. 2 fine young men over here, both of them graduates of Bob Jones University with a degree in accounting, and both of them good accountants, and both of them faithful, loyal, praying type members and probably deacons, I don't know, in fundamental Baptist churches. And all over this place here was one over here on the staff at Hiles Anderson College. And I looked across this great sea of people at this altar at the wedding yesterday afternoon. I said, thank God. And then my mind began to drift to others. I mean, young people for whom I had as many dreams as I did the Douglas boys over here. Young people for whom I had hopes and dreams. I was preaching in a distant city. And I was bragging on some of our people. I have an illustration I use about our high school teachers. In that illustration, I tell about Fred Mooney, our football coach, and how proud of him I am. In the illustration, I tell about Judy Augustine, our business teacher at the high school, who also grew up here, and how proud of her I am. I tell about Bob and Don Olson in that illustration, 2 of our own young people grew up in our church. I go through the high school, and I mention young people and the faculty. I go to the grade school, and Arlie and Beck and Devon Haygood and others who grew up in our church. I mention many of our young people. And I was preaching and using that illustration, and some of Hector got up in the middle of that illustration, Brother John, and he said, why don't you tell them about the ones that turned out bad? And I began to cry uncontrollably. And I said, I don't want to. What do you say? I say, I know how God feels this morning. A little bit. I can't love like God can love. I don't have the great heart of God. With this group sitting up here this morning, there's a lady, one of the sponsors of this trip. Fine middle-aged lady. I guess middle. She wouldn't think she's middle-aged. I think she is.
That makes me an old man, but in her young middle years. As a teenager up there in that group this morning, I remember the first Sunday morning at Miller Road Baptist Church when her mom and dad came, professed their faith in Christ as Savior, one of the finest families I know. She was just a little girl. I remember us eating in her house when she was just a teenager. I remember all the dreams I had for those two girls in that house. And though it's been many years, I couldn't tell you how proud of her I am. And I couldn't tell you the joy that comes to the heart of this preacher when the kids become what he dreamed they would. I'm not talking about you ought to be a preacher and you ought to be a missionary. I'm not talking about that. I was just as proud of these two Douglas boys over here who are good, solid, soul-winning laymen in fundamental churches as I was this pastor over here. I don't know about you, but I want to be what God had in mind for me. Now, I don't want the great artist of the universe to come to my painting and say, don't look at that one. My mama said to me many years ago, and I'm sure she's forgotten it. I was pastor of a church in Texas. My mama set me down one day and she said, son, when I carried you in my own body, I prayed God would make you a preacher or the president of the United States. I'm halfway home. But mama said, son, I dreamed of what you'd be. Mama said, son, when you were born, you had a veil over you. She reminded me of that the other day on my birthday. She said, son, the doctor came and said to Costell, Ms. Hyle, said, your boy, 11 pounds plus, your boy has a veil over him. And mother said, I'm not surprised. I gave him to God. God's going to use him. And my mother said to me, son, I prayed for you. I tried to be a mother and a daddy to you. I tried to take care of you, and I prayed and tried to train you. And my mama said to me, son, I want you to know you're all that I ever dreamed you would be and more. I don't know what whiskey tastes like, but I bet you it doesn't taste as good as here and there. I don't know what kind of joy that marijuana brings, but I'll bet you one thing, it won't put you on a higher plane than that. I don't know what the disco's like. I don't know what the rock and roll. I don't know what it's like. But I'll guarantee you this. When you hear somebody who loves you say, you're more than I dreamed you'd be, you've reached one of the highest plateaus of joy you'll ever know. God had a purpose for your life. The great painter and architect and master builder had in his mind what he wanted you to become. How near are you to his dreams? Our Heavenly Father.